Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wednesday night, a busy night for New England sports fans. Bruins win by 2. Celtics win by 8. Red Sox, what do you say? Up 3-0 at Yankee Stadium and a real chance to finally get this thing going. We now pause as I look for the sad trombone drop. Sad trombone? Around here somewhere, sad trombone. Well, insert your own mournful brass. Felled by Brett Gardner's salami. Giggity. Bruins trending up, Celtics trending up, Red Sox still on a wretched downward arc. Here now, some happy horns. Found those. The theme song for Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Well, last year through 19 games, 17-2. This year through 19 games, 6-13. Run differential last year at this time was a plus 68. This year it is a minus 42. That would be 110 runs difference in basically 3 weeks of baseball. The minus 42 through 19 games by a defending World Series champion, that's never happened before. Blake Swihart, come back. We didn't mean it. Josh Lewin with you, and the two-game road trip to the Bronx ends with a moist thud. We'll discuss the game itself, but first, here's what we were looking at heading in. We always like to do that, just kind of give you a little perspective on how it all was going to roll out. There were issues heading in. Among others, Dustin Pedroia had started only 3 of the first 18 games this year, was hitting 105, slugging 105, and by the way, one at bat into this game out, he went in favor of the bat of back Eduardo Nunez. More on Pedroia coming up. Runners in scoring position into Wednesday night, 1-for-17 the prior 3 games. Mookie Betts' batting average was 149th out of 191 qualified major league hitters. Last year, you may remember he was first. OPS last year, he was second. This year, he is coming in at 115th behind guys like Nick Ahmed and Teoscar Hernandez. And that's before he took an over in this game. Through 18 games, the Sox starters' ERA had been 7.18. Previous worst for a Red Sox team, 6.96 through 18 games. 1931 Red Sox finished 62-90, by the way. One more for you. Two teams have lost 12 of their first 18 and gone on to win a World Series. Two of them have. The 0-2 Angels did it, but before that, the 1914 Boston Braves. Well, at least it happened in Boston, but the point is it's a short list. And, okay, you know, you bring up Sandy Leon. You think that that might make a little bit of a difference for the starters, the pitchers, that is. Didn't really work so much for Sale the other night. Vasquez started this game for Eovaldi. But a quick thought on Leon coming up. If the other 8 players are clicking like they clicked last year, if everyone else is combined to lead the American League in batting average and runs scored and doubles and home runs and slugging percentage, I'm all for using a guy who hit 106 in his last 49 games of last year if he brings you the defense. That's fine if everybody else hits. The 86 Mets had Rafael Santana as their everyday shortstop because he was so good defensively. And the rest of the lineup was Dykstra, Hernandez, Carter, Knight, and Strawberry. The early 70s Orioles could roll with the 198 hitting Mark Belanger because they had Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson and Boog Powell and those guys. Well, the Red Sox of this year currently rank 17th in baseball in runs scored. That's not first. We talked about the run differential. It is basically right there with the Marlins, who are trying to lose this year. They've got a short bench. That's not optimal at all, especially with a bunch of guys hurt right now. Andrew Benintendi should be ready to go Friday, but we don't know that for sure. The paucity of crooked number innings. That was such a big thing last year. Innings were not ones and twos when they scored. They were threes, fours, and sevens. Not seeing that this year. And the whole do damage thing, it's just, I mean, they're so passive right now. Way too passive. And into this game, the Sox had been outscored, what was it, 15-1 the last two games. And there it was, the worst record through 18 games since the 96 team went 3-15. 96, yes, Kevin Kennedy, Dan Duquette. You guys want me to find the glory days by Springsteen tape or not so much? Lee Tinsley, Reggie Jefferson, Vaughn Eshelman, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so on to the game at Yankee Stadium Wednesday night. A chilly but comfortable night in the shadow of the 4 train and a matchup of impact acquisitions from a year ago who were both struggling big time this year. Nathan Eovaldi, 8.4 ERA. Jay Happ, 8.76. Eovaldi, lest we forget, a former Yankee, 23-11 for them, about a 4 ERA in 15-16. And against the Yankees last year, including the postseason, it was 4 starts, a 0.39 ERA, 1 earned run in 23 innings. So, okay, roll tape. Scoring opened nearly right away, and it was good. J.D. Martinez, home run off Happ in the first inning, dead center. Mitch Moreland, leadoff single, lefty to lefty in the top of the second, but Pedroia flies out. It gets to Rafi Devers, who coming in, no home runs, 2 runs batted in. And at the end of this at-bat, still no home runs, 2 runs batted in. He struck out swinging. There is no way Devers should be outside the top 200 in baseball and runs batted in, but that's what we're looking at right now. The big RBI bat was actually up next, and that is, would you believe, Christian Vasquez. Home run to right, 3-0 Sox. And a little cushion for a starter, which is so rare and so welcome. Vasquez now, 2 homers, 6 runs batted in. Again, Devers, no home runs, 2 runs batted in. But back to the Pedroia at bat. He was in obvious discomfort after his flyout. They take him out. You wonder at that point why exactly they rushed him back. You remember last year they DFA'd Hanley Ramirez to make room for him, and Pedroia only started 3 games. Now they just DFA'd Swihart, who is technically athletic enough to play second base in an emergency. It's not what you want, but it's possible. Sure enough, Pedroia leaves this game with knee discomfort, which is why Nunez had to come in, even though he's got the bad back. And now Zhu Weilin has to be ready to pack a suitcase. Or, just throwing it out there, Michael Chavis, who's been playing some second base. He just destroyed his 4th home run of the year in Pawtucket Wednesday night. But anyway, bottom of the 4th, the Yankees begin to stir against Eovaldi. Clint Frazier doubles in a run. It's now 3-1, 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. But that modern-day murderer's row of Tauchman and Urshela were retired. It stays 3-1 Boston with a hat tip to Steve Pierce, making a nice play on a grounder in that inning. Good time to remind you that, yes, the Yankees have 12 players on the injured list, including Dellin Betances, Ndidi Gregorius, Aaron Hicks, Severino, Stanton, for golly sakes, Miguel Andujar, Gary Sanchez. They just put Bird on the IL. Jacoby Ellsbury should be like on the million-day IL. He hasn't played the Major League game since 2017. It's a sorry bunch of substitutes, but to their credit, they came in much closer to 500 than the Red Sox did in this one, and they would ultimately prevail. Top of the 5th. This concerned me for some reason. Jay Happ is on the mound. We mentioned Jay Happ is having a miserable April. You got the Killer Bees up all in order. You got Bradley, Betts, and Bogarts. And they swung the bats like they were Blosser, Bard, and Brents. 7 pitches side retired. So Eovaldi's got to get right back out there. And you know what? Good for him. A 1-2-3 inning. Very nice from Nate in this one. No complaints at all. This, by the way, was the inning that A-Rod spent some time chatting with the guys on the Nesson broadcast, which was odd. I know I'm new here, but did Bill Laimbeer ever go on the Celtics broadcast? Did Ulf Samuelson ever jump on with Dale Arnold or Jack Edwards for the Bruins? I'm just asking. But anyway, we go to the 7th inning of Eovaldi's done. 6 innings, about 90 pitches. I get it. Workman comes in, and Eovaldi having lowered his ERA to 6, that the one run he allowed was unearned. Workman gets into trouble, loads the bases, not able to get his fastball over, his curveball mysteriously hardly taken off the shelf in that whole sequence. But anyway, it's 1 out, bases loaded for the pesky veteran Brett Gardner. Ryan Brazier comes on. He's having a fine April, no problems. Gets ahead of him 0-2 with a couple of sliders. Then tries to sneak a fastball by him, and he leaves it right in the middle of the plate. Center cut, grand slam, 1 foot over the tiny little wall in right. It's a memorable 100th career home run for Gardner. Workman was charged with the 3 earned runs, saw his ERA get from 0 to 3.52 while sitting in the dugout. Brazier allowed only 2 home runs all last year, and I know that this one was a Yankee Stadium cheapie of the highest order, and I know it would be ideal to just have a 9-foot-tall right fielder on the roster every game at Yankee Stadium, because then you save a bunch of those nonsense home runs, but Mookie Betts is 5'10", and Brett Gardner went Yardner on an 0-2 fastball, the slam, and basically the ball game. Top of the 8th, Betts and Bogarts, right? Last year, that's exactly who you'd want to kickstart a rally, but Mookie, again, passive, strikes out looking. I'm not a fan of passive Mookie. I would like last year's do damage Mookie to show up. Bogarts follows up by flying to right, but then a little tremor, a little shake of the ground underneath. Infield hit for J.D. Martinez. Yes, I said infield hit for J.D. Martinez. Base hit right center for Pierce. Moreland works a walk. Nunez up, bases loaded, where Pedroia used to be. And against Adam Ottavino, with the tying man on base, first pitch, right after the walk, Nunez offers it a slider way off the plate and flies to right. So it stays 5-3, Yankees mid 8. And again, the big hit just eludes this year's version of the exact same Red Sox team from a year ago. On to the 9th, the oldest Chapman on, 12 pitchers to knock down the save and render the Sox 7 games under, 8.5 games out, and then a long, sad plane trip to Tampa St. Pete. Jackie Bradley Jr., the final out, ended up 0 for 4 with a couple strikeouts in this one. He's now hitting .148. Mookie, to update him, is at .200 on the button. Pierce and Pedroia hitting a combined .111. So, yeah, this was a new one, a new way to lose this year, the expected way to lose in 2019, right? Everyone was fearful the bullpen would blow some games, and really, it took until game number 19 of the season for that to happen. Last year, that happened one game in, not 19. But getting swept by the Yankees, even in a 2-game series, stinks. And the favor can't even be returned in Boston until after the trip to London. The Yankees don't play their first game at Fenway this year until July. Latest since 1981, we are told. All right, now we need to be told about some Pedroia updates. And we need an explanation for this latest loss. We need Alex Cora's post-game comments. So, here we go.
To let you know, Petey left. You know, not because of what happened, but he was also sick, so, you know, he took off. So whatever questions, I'll answer. Okay? He, in the first swing of that at-bat, the one he fouled off to right field, whatever, he felt something weird in his knee. You know, he finished the at-bat, he came up to me, he's like, hey, man, didn't feel right there, so decided to take him out. He'll see the doctor tomorrow and see where we at, you know. And like I said, you know, he was also feeling, you know, ill, you know, what's going on right now. So that's why he took off. He's not like he's hiding from people. So, yeah, we'll know more tomorrow.
Alex, he's going to go see the surgeon that he had?
Yeah, I think he'll stay here in New York. And he'll see, not the surgeon. I think it's one of the doctors here, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not necessarily the guy who did the surgery?
Not that I know. Okay. Not that I know. Are we going to keep it like this?
Setting the mood. Alex, how concerned are you that this is a serious thing?
I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, for him to come up to me and tell me how he felt, you know, obviously, I know a lot of people think that he's going to push and not be smart about it. Well, he understands where he's at and how he felt, so... I got to do what I have to do to take care of the player, you know. I was surprised that he came up to me and told me that, but at least he was honest. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, you know. I really don't know. I'm just, he was a little bit down. He was down, you know, and haven't seen him like that. So hopefully it's nothing serious and, you know, it's something that just, he just got scared, you know, but we'll know more tomorrow.
0-2 pitch there from Brazier to Gardner in the 7th, one of the few times that he's been bitten like that this year.
Yeah, breaking ball for strike, breaking ball for foul, and we tried to go up in the zone, and it wasn't up enough. And Gardner did a good job staying with that pitch. It's kind of like right in his swing path, and you know, he hit the grand slam. But I think before that, you know, we walked two guys, you know, and in any ballpark, but especially here, you know, we got to avoid traffic there. And we didn't do a good job in that inning. And, you know, we pay the price.
How tough, Why did you want Brazier not Sparks?
Matchups. Yeah, we felt that was a matchup. You know, we recognized it before the series, and those top of the order, Garner, Judge, we felt like his fastball can play there. You know, the slider, you know, so we decided to go with that one.
How tough is it just after the way of all the pitch tonight to not go away?
They're all tough. I mean, but one thing for sure, you know, I think the starting rotation is getting to where we want it. You know, he threw the ball well. Velocity was good. I know he grind out in a few innings, but the split was better. The breaking ball was better, and he finished off with a good fastball. But, you know, we still got to finish games. You know, well, we didn't. And you know, it takes everybody to get out of this, you know, and today, you know, in the seventh inning, we didn't do the job.
5-3 Yankees, again, the final. And now, following today's day off, the Red Sox will begin a stretch of 20 games in 20 days on Friday. It's our longest such stretch of 2019. You've got the three-game series at Tampa Bay, then a 10-game homestand where they better get things going. It's Detroit for 4, Tampa Bay for 3, Oakland for 3. Then they wrap up that 20-game stretch at the White Sox and at Baltimore. Tampa Bay series preview for you. Since you asked, did you ask? I hope you asked. The Rays have played around the same number of games as Boston, one fewer, but they've allowed 72 fewer runs. The Rays are 14-4, and they look like they may indeed be not just lucky, but good. Rodriguez, Porcello, and Price lined up to face them. Erod was good last time out, set down the first 14 he faced. Price, of course, has been fine so far, the only member of the whole rotation who can really make that claim consistently. Porcello's ERA for that Saturday game is going to be 11.12 when it begins. Price, masterful in his last start. I think you're least worried about him. 7 shutout innings. He walked none, struck out 7 to beat the Orioles. Of course, he's originally a Ray. He's pitched more at Tropicana Field than any other venue. He's 37-30 there with a 2.8 ERA. I like it when David's on the mound. But for Tampa Bay, Blake Snell will miss a start with a broken fourth toe. We call the fourth finger the ring finger. I don't know if we can do that with toes. I mean, if you have a toe ring, is it on the fourth toe? I honestly do not know that protocol. But Snell will miss the series. The Rays expected to start Emilia Pagan on Friday. Saturday, which is Ryan Stanek bottle opener night at the Trop, it's Charlie Morton, undefeated 2.18 ERA. Sunday, Tyler Glasnow on what is Daniel Robertson wristband day. Anyone remember Steve Martin in The Jerk when he's trying to detain the bandits and he says, you win free oven mitts? I'll be right back with your free oven mitts. I think the Rays need to have like a, I don't know, a Tyler Glasnow oven mitt giveaway. That sounds like that might be next. But anyway, explaining how Tampa Bay, 10 games over 500, how is that possible? At the plate, Austin Meadows, the former Pirates prospect, is hitting 350, 6 home runs, 17 runs batted in. Again, Devers, 2 runs batted in right now, not to pick on him, but that's just a fact. Austin Meadows, 8 times as many runs batted in as Devers. Anyway, Avisail Garcia hitting 335, Kevin Kiermaier hitting 300. These guys run the bases well, they lead the American League in steals. But the big story, of course, is their pitching. They've got a team ERA in the low twos, best in baseball, a team whip of less than 1. The whole team. The Red Sox whip is 1.5. Oh, man, that's not good. Tampa Bay's payroll near the bottom. You guys know that. The Sox, of course, at the top. So that makes this whole 14-4 against 6-13 thing all the more annoying. Boston will saunter on in there 3-10 on the road, just 3-3 at home. I'm doing the quick math here. That adds up to 6-13. If I carry the 1, yes, 6-13 overall, and probably a good time for an off day for sure. That's the podcast. I would say that's plenty. There was 17 wins at this time last year, 6 so far this year with basically the same exact team. I can't figure it out either, but then again, I'm new around here. See you, Sox fans. Appreciate your time. Sox Daily, Josh Lewin. Peace out. People say peace out. I don't think people say peace out. What do people say? I don't know what they say.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.